minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Edge edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Also, the good Lord, is it the freaking draft yet podcast? I am your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley. And I am joined today, as always, by my co-host, Ross Uglum. And Ross, we are talking some pass rushers today. Guys that get after the quarterback, guys that make plays, the arch nemesis of the Packers for so many years when they had one Aaron Charles Rodgers playing at the height of his career. Can you ever have too many of these guys, Ross?
No, I'd build the whole plane out of them. You know what I mean? I love edge rushers. I love them in all shapes and sizes, though the Packers seem to kind of have their shape slash size that they like. But yeah, I mean, you know, they're so versatile, the way you can use these guys that actually have the juice, right? You know, your Za'Darius Smith types that can line up over a guard, your Rashawn Gary types that can run through your face, your technician types, or your, you know, your spin move guys, your speed rushers. Like I just eat it up, man. I love it all. And really enjoy scouting the edge rusher position. Feel like I've had pretty good success there, you know, from a hit rate perspective, and I just enjoy it. I like kind of figuring out ways that these guys can win.
Yeah, and I think last year a guy that maybe the Packers went away from their norms a little bit was Kingsley in Igbaré, because he is not your typical, you know, freakazoid athlete that they have tended to go after. But you talked about the technician, and I think they just got to the point in the fifth round where they're like, hey, he's too good. He is too good to still be sitting there. Just take him. And I think that's good process for the Packers, and something that you would hope that they would do if they just really liked a kid. And they went after him. Before we jump into some of these guys, it's been interesting what they have done with their visits, because we're still seeing some of the, you know, the freak athletes, and the kid from Northwestern, who I'm not even going to even attempt to pronounce his name. They had him in for a visit. They had Keon White in for a visit, and we'll talk about him because he scares me to death. And then they also had the Will McDonald kid in for a visit out of Iowa State, who is not a Packers type in the sense of he is light. So maybe a changing of the guard for the Packers. But before we get into those guys, like, what do you make of that, Ross? And looking at this specific position, they have liked a certain type of pass rusher. But are there ways that you can kind of get around having different bodies in the room? And is that even maybe a good thing or something that a team could utilize? And how would you utilize those types of guys? Like, say you have a Rashawn Gary, a Preston Smith, a Kingsley Enagbare, and then a Will McDonald or a Nolan Smith type. Like, how do you fit all those guys into the same room and get the most out of each of them?
You need a creative defensive coordinator. That's the not great part.
Yeah, a little late on that.
They've shown that they could do it, right? To a degree,
they have. You know, I'm trying to think. Like, you know, Barry did change things up as the season wore on last year. Like, I think he does deserve some credit there in that regard. But that was mostly coverages, I think, the way that he did things on the back end. But I guess you could also make the argument that he didn't have the ponies to do it last year either, to really change things up when rolling out Preston and Kingsley. So maybe that's the plan. Maybe that's why they're like, hey, go bring me a Nolan Smith, go bring me a Will McDonald, so I can be more creative in my front And I guess we're fixing to find out if that's going to be the case or not, if they do take one of these guys. But nonetheless, it is very interesting just what they've been doing. But Ross, talk to me about, let's just say you are Brian Gutekunst. And before we really dive into these edge rushers, and the obvious guys are gone, right? Like, I think, and honestly, I think the only two guys you can really say with any type of certainty that will be gone are Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson. Obviously Will Anderson from Alabama, Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. I would assume both those guys will not be on the board at pick 15. But if everyone else is available to you, Ross, who is like your dream scenario pick at 15 if they're going to pick an edge rusher?
So if it was an edge guy, for me, it would be Miles Murphy. I'm extremely high on Miles Murphy. And we'll see, you know, I guess where the do we not have – I got to check here before I talk. I feel like we do have incomplete testing data for him, right?
We do. He didn't broad jump. But with everything else that he did, I would assume he would hit his broad jump numbers, because that is legit like the only thing he didn't do is broad jump. His explosive numbers were nice. And I think more than anything, that's what the Packers value at that position is, do you have the density mixed in with the explosive numbers and explosiveness on the field?
No, he actually had a poor vert.
Oh, yeah.
He had a crazy elite short shuttle and ran his ass off at 6'5".
What was his vert? Do you have that in front of you?
31.
Ooh. Interesting.
And like you said, didn't broad. But
probably agility, smart then. Probably smart not to broad. He probably jumped at 31 and said, oh.
But agilities were excellent, specifically the short shuttle, and the 40 time is awesome. And I know that, you know, it's not a – that's not something you love or, you know, you're obsessed about, but he is something else at 275, really.
I've heard on Murphy that the NFL is actually not super high on him. Like, he is a guy that might be sitting there, you know, all of Carl Office last year, which I think George Karloftis, the kid from Purdue, ended up as a Chief. He's a Super Bowl champion right now, you know, and had a very good rookie year.
So I have PFF's draft guide up just right in front of me here. Guess who Miles Murphy's player comp is from Mike Renner?
George Karloftis.
Rashawn Gary.
Oh. Well, I mean, yeah, you look at – so with Murphy and Gary – they are both guys that are not maybe they're, you talked about technicians. I don't think they're really technicians. I think they're just, I'm going to overwhelm you play in and play out. And I'm going to outwork you, and I'm going to out athlete you. And very rarely can guys get away with that.
Yeah, because Murphy is technically not very good, but he'll run through your face, which is fun.
And I think it's our buddy Westendorf that always says, like, what's better than having one Rashawn Gary?
Two.
Having two. Yeah, and certainly so. I think, you know, for me with this edge class, and one of the guys that I think I would pound the table for and be the most excited about at pick 15, you know, obviously Jackson Smith and Jigba is one of them. I think Paris Johnson is another one. And then for me, Nolan Smith out of Georgia. Yeah. I fell in love with his tape and really didn't let myself kind of go down that path just because he's so small. And I just assumed he's not going to be a Packer. And there are players littered all over this board. Like, we've talked about a lot of different positions. We've talked about a lot of different guys. Like, for me, like, people brought up, like, Marvin Mims is a name that people bring up, and they're like, do you not like him? It's like, dude, I love Marvin Mims, but he's not going to be a Packer. Right. So, like, I just don't talk about him because I just don't think he's going to be one. Josh Downs, another guy like that, probably not going to be a Packer.
Ooh, I know.
Love the kid, though.
Yeah.
So for me, like, with Nolan Smith, that's kind of what I was where I was at. It's like, man, this guy, I love this kid's tape. Love everything about him. Love that he is like the spokesperson for Georgia football. And he is a locker room guy. You talk to any of his teammates, you talk to his coaches, and they will all go to bat for him for his character and his work ethic and what he brings not only on the football field but in the locker room as well. He knocked his interviews out of the park, either on the open podium or from what I've heard behind doors with teams in meetings. And then you turn on the film, and it is – I mean, it is Clay Matthews-esque when you watch this kid play. Just a relentless – pursuer of the football, and he matches that with really, really, really good athleticism. And a lot of people, I don't think, you know, maybe it's a skin color thing as well, but a lot of people did not give Clay the credit he deserved as an athlete, you know, because he was a freak athlete, and he was a hustle guy. But Nolan Smith is very similar in that regards, where he's a freak athlete and a hustle guy as well. And if he were to be the pick at 15, to me that would be fascinating, because he does represent like maybe a changing of the guard at the edge position for the Packers, and maybe a chance for Joe Barry to do some things that maybe he's wanted to do in the past, but he couldn't because he didn't have a player like him. I guess, you know, that's something
Joe Barry has had guys like that in LA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has. And so that's. And so maybe that's what Barry wants to do. And even you could probably go back to his time in Detroit, too. I don't know what he had there, but probably, I don't know. You know, they were 0-16, so probably not much. But in any case, when they brought in Will McDonald, that kind of opened the door for me on Nolan Smith in a weird way. Because it's like, well, Will McDonald's small. Nolan Smith is small. And you talk about broad jumps. They are both like, I think Will McDonald's like a 99th percentile broad jumper, and Nolan is close. He's like 98, 97. And I do think they really, really value that broad jump because they value the explosive athlete. So that would be, you know, my guy in the first round. But what's fun about this edge class, Ross, is the thing people like to talk about is like, hey, if you want a pass rusher, you got to get them early. And that is true. I subscribe to that. But in this year's draft class, there's some dudes on in round two that could very well be sitting there at 45. And one of them is a guy that you and I are both pretty familiar with, playing in Manhattan, Kansas. Can you talk to me a little bit about Felix, F-A-U? I can't say his full name. But talk to me about this kid at pick 45, potentially. I think it would be a little bit surprising if he was there at 45, but yeah. I'll say it now. I'll say it 100 times. Pick 12 to 60, like nothing is really going to surprise me who's there, who isn't. So talk to me about Felix.
I really like him. He really, really, really broke out in 2021 and was quite, quite excellent. And that was as a true sophomore, by the way. Super bendy. I enjoy kind of his toolbox, if you will. I like the way that he sort of gets it. Very, very bendy on tape. Now, we don't really have testing data for him, which stinks. I don't think he's going to run through anybody's face, but the Packers have plenty of guys that run through faces, right? And he's good with his hands. And he's kind of like Gumby with his ankles and his knees. And I like that. Hips, knees, and ankles with a lot of flexibility. I have enjoyed my time watching FAU and would very much welcome him in a Packers uniform for sure.
I was talking to a media friend the other day, and I was saying FAU reminds me of like a gassed up Kingsley Enagbare.
Yeah.
You talk about like, you know, because I think the hand work is really good. I think he's got a pretty deep bag as far as his pass rush plan. But then you sprinkle in some of the flexibility that Enagbare doesn't have. You sprinkle in some of the, you know, the explosiveness that Enagbare doesn't have a ton of. He's not like he's not explosive, but like Felix is just that kid and he's that dude. And I think the Packers have done some off-the-wall stuff in the first round that has worked out for them, really. They've been really good in the first round, you know, all things considered. I know there are certain things you can point to be like, yeah, well, they drafted this guy. Every regime has that. But Felix would be a guy at 15 that would be all just off the wall enough to be surprising, because we didn't talk about it a ton, but we would look back on it and probably pretty quickly be able to realize why they did it. So that would be an interesting one to me. I'm going to talk to you, Ross, about two guys that scare the daylights out of me and are very much Packers types. And when I say scare the daylights out of me, it is in tears. The first one is Isaiah Foskey out of Notre Dame. He doesn't, like, at 45, yeah, pick 45. If you want to take Isaiah Foskey, do it all day long. That is, I think, where he needs to go. But again, this kid was getting, like, round one buzz preseason. And in certain circles, it's still getting that kind of buzz. At pick 15, that would terrify me. I think he is, you know, he's got the athletic measurables that you like. He's got the athletic measurables the Packers love. I mean, he is a, you know, five-star first-tier Packer all day long as far as athletic measurables go. From a blue blood program, the whole nine yards, has the stats, all that stuff. I just don't see it as a pass rusher with him to be picked that high. And the guy that absolutely scares me to death, Ross, and I want you to talk to me about this guy, is Keon White out of Georgia Tech. Someone that the Packers had in for a top 30 visit. And I will say this about him. I don't like to talk ill of prospects. I don't, because I root for all these guys and I want them all to be successful. But I don't get it. I don't get it when I watch him. Pick 15, I would vomit. Pick 45, I still would feel sick to my stomach. I would start feeling comfortable with him like at pick 78. And I've heard some people talk about, like, I mean, DJ had him like in his top 30 earlier, yeah, like in this draft process. What am I missing? He's also old. What am I missing, Ross?
You're missing the projection. And I'm with you on the old thing.
Projection, he's going to be 30 in 3 years.
Calm down. Let's not spread misinformation. He's my number 32 overall player. 6'5", 285, running a 4.79 with a 34-inch vert and a 9.09 broad. Raz at defensive tackle of 9.92.
He's a freak.
You
want
to run that as an edge? We can. And I'm going to get 9.55 for you. Because
his height. Why doesn't any of that show up on tape? That's my question for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as down on his tape as you are. You know, he started off as a tight end. So that's part of it. You know, you talk about his age. Literally learning how to play football. Was at Old Dominion before he transferred to Georgia Tech. And I think you can move him all over. Again, he's a project. For sure. Missed most of 2021. But humans just aren't built like that, and I think they think they can teach him. The problem with Keon White, though, it is tough to see how he might fit into, like, your plan. And maybe your plan is just to keep acquiring guys that you think can be, like, elite, right? And I can see that for him. You know, I can, and I know, whatever, you know, you don't agree or what have you, but I do see that for him, in that if he gets with a good coach, do they have those in Green Bay on defense? I'm not sure. But if he gets with a good coach, the tools are there. I mean, he is an alien's alien. There's no question about it. And so I totally get now 15's a little rich. Right. And, you know, if the Packers take him at 45, 41 or 42, whatever they have coming in from the Jets, if they have anything coming in from the Jets, It's like, all right, well, he still has to be with that second group of edges, right? When Preston and Rashawn come off the field, like, you still have to team him up with Kingsley if you're not going to play him a little bit at D-tack. But, man, I think, man, that's your matchup guy. Like, him or – and they might be looking for your matchup guy because I think him or the Northwestern kid, he's a guy that you send Kenny Clark out there and you send Devontae Wyatt out there and you want a five-man front. Okay, well, our havoc wreakers are Preston, Rashawn, and the Northwestern kid, or Preston, Rashawn, and Keon White. And you're right in that I think that you're onto a little bit of something in that they are at least fishing around a different way of getting after the quarterback, whether it's a short or, you know, whether it's a kind of a guy you reduce inside like a Lucas Van Ness, like a Northwestern kid, like a Keon White, or a true blitzer from the off ball position, like a maybe even a Drew Sanders, who I don't know how much they're sniffing around him, but or a Keon White, Nolan Smith, or Will McDonald, who you would maybe come send screaming off the edge, but also maybe play him off the ball and bring him that way. Like, they are at least poking around at the non-traditional edges, right? And big edges are just as not, you know, big edges are on the menu potentially just as much as the little ones are.
Yeah, and they are. And I think the matchup stuff is interesting because the matchup can go either way, right? Like, maybe if Nolan Smith is the matchup guy as like your small speed rusher, Adetame Wa Adebare, the Northwestern kid, could very much be your matchup guy on the other end of the spectrum. And that's my whole thing is like, man, if you're going to take a raw prospect like that, take someone like Adebare, who is he's younger. I think his tape is better. He had a great week at the Senior Bowl. Like, that's my guy. If you're going to take a freaky edge type that can play all over the line of scrimmage for you. And if you want to go to some of those 4-3 looks, you know, those even fronts can definitely do some of that for you as well. Another guy you talked about that I think we need to mention is Lucas Van Ness, the Iowa kid.
And yes, sir.
He is someone that I don't think has gotten a lot. I mean, he is very much a Packer type, but if they take him, it would be like, oh, he's the kid they just didn't talk to throughout this process. Like, he's the guy that they had earmarked since February, and they just were like, now we're good. We know enough about this kid. We're going to take him if he's there, and they felt that way for a long time. Another interesting guy because he played a bunch of snaps for Iowa but did not start and did not play like a traditional edge-type role. So he could be very much another guy that's in that mold of someone that, hey, we want to play him at 5-tech. We want to play him at edge. We want to be able to line him up inside and just wreak havoc. So he's another guy that I think is worth keeping an eye on for the Packers. And he's someone that has been talked about a lot from the get-go just because it seems like the Iowa to Green Bay pipeline has been strong and it's typically worked out for the Packers. So that would be cool. I'd be happy with Lucas Van Ness. I would be cool with it. It wouldn't be like a backflip type pick, but I'd be happy with it. And another guy, actually, I'm just going to kick it to you, Ross, because Ross, if you know, as we wrap this thing up, last year, Kingsley Enagbare was someone that you had really liked.
Yeah.
And once he was still there on day three.
He was big time for me.
Yeah. I remember at the beginning of day three, you're like, why is this kid still on the board? Please take him. Please take him. Please take him. And then they did. And so is there anyone like that, I guess, in this class that, and I guess it's hard to say because I don't think any of us would have projected Kingsley to go and slide like he did. But is there anyone in this year's draft class that you're just like, man, I really like this kid, and I don't know why he's not getting more love?
It's tough, obviously, to say that. right? Like until somebody doesn't
right.
go.
Right. You could be like, hey, I really like Zach Harrison, you know, or yeah. whatever. And that, right. and then he goes at pick 43 and you're like, oh yeah, I guess everyone.
Well, that's where he should have gone. Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, Miles Murphy is one, but like he'll go, you know, I mean, I think I'm yeah. higher on him than most. I don't hate Foskey the way that some people hate Foskey. He's my 50th overall player. I kind of get it with him. Yeah, that's a it's a good question. Of
let me throw a name at you that I recently watched this kid because
okay.
he is a tier one Packer. And okay. he is someone that meets a lot of their thresholds, and the way he was used kind of reminded me of Preston Smith, and that's the Isaiah McGuire kid out of Mizzou. How familiar are you with him, and do you have any thoughts on him?
McGuire? Mm-hmm. I like him. I like him-ish. I have him bunched up kind of with Xavier Thomas out of Clemson and Nick Hampton from App State. Isaiah McGuire is my 140th overall player. If that kind of gives you a realm of where I have him roughly, right? I get it. I like his bend. For a kid that's 6'4", 275, I do like his bend, which is important. The RAS was okay. You know, like he's got strangely small hands. And his three cone was 7.39, which is not great. And the 40 of 4.76, also just fine. Again,
90th. His jumps were really good.
Okay. I mean, I'll buy that. Right. But yeah, I don't know.
And so I thought, because with him, like his agilities were not great, but when you turn on the tape, like he's a guy that can drop in coverage and did not look terrible at it. And that's why I kind of get like the Preston Smith vibes from him, because for how big Preston is, like he has no business being as fluid in coverage as he is and having a feel. Like the thing with Preston is I think he has a pretty good feel in coverage. Like if that makes sense, you know, some guys are good athletes, but they just kind of get lost when you put them in space, he looks comfortable to me. And so, you know, we have him ranked. I mean, leaving lower than that, he's 196 in the guide. Like he's barely a top 200 guy. But when you just talk about those day three, you know, take a flyer on a guy type pick, that's who I like, is someone like him that has a lot of the tools that you covet and has shown some stuff on tape. He's got some really he's got some really bad tape too, and that's why he's ranked where he is. But with a kid like that, you know, the saying goes, if you can do it once, you can do it again. And I think he's someone that if you get him into the right coaching, you know, scheme, he could be something. And I actually do think the Packers have a good edge coach. I forget what his name is, which is not a great that's not a great endorsement. But, you know, he's the guy the guy from Jacksonville. I mean, he's got some impressive guys like under his belt. Like he's the guy that
you're talking about Rebrovich.
Yeah, he's got Ngakoue under his belt. He's got Dwayne Smoot under his belt, Josh Allen. You know, like these guys that, you know, obviously Josh Allen was a top 10 pick, but other guys that were later round picks that were really good athletes that he developed into functional to good NFL football players. So I think he's a good coach. But we'll see. The edge position is always interesting. I'm sure there's plenty of guys that we left off this list as well, but that is that for now. We are going to catch you guys again here next week. It'll be our last time talking pre-draft on this show, which, thank God. I just have to say, Ross, it's at that time of year where it's very much, let's just get the draft here. I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of hearing the rumors. I'm sick of hearing the lies and everything else that is hard to even believe right now. So let's get that draft here. Let's talk about some of the newest Green Bay Packers. Cannot wait for that. But we'll get to that soon enough. And until then, go Pack, go.